handful of badly repaired bolt-action long blasters were visible, and none of the men carried extra rounds in their belts. Those were probably just showpieces used to frighten cold hearts. The sec man had encountered that trick before, many times. A big man with a bushy beard had a hand cannon tucked into his belt, and there were a lot of cartridges in the loops. But if there was any powder between the lead and the shell, there was no way of knowing until the hammer fell. Everybody else was carrying axes and shovels, including the women. Campbell snorted in disgust. Farmer weapons. Useless against the LAV, and they knew it. This was all a bluff. Then he jerked back as he realized metal struts stuck out from the roof of the main hut, and that the walls sloped gently downward. It was the dish, flipped over face down. Now he could spot the smashed remnants of the support girders used among the other huts, and the crumpling ruins of the blockhouse that had once contained the controls and electric motors to angle the dish at the sats in space. Gone. It was all gone. Used by stinking farmers to make huts. A blind rage filled the sec man, although he kept his face calm. The dirt-eating muti lovers were going to pay for that. The bearded man held up a hand.
Stop right there, rowdies. Make a move and we'll cut you down.
Campbell smiled.
No, we don't want any trouble here, white hair.
The man meaningfully rested a hand on his blaster.
Trouble is what you get. We got you covered good and tight. What you doing in Setiville?
Setiville, the damn fools.
We're just here to fuck your women.
Campbell drew his Colt and shot the man in the throat. Instantly, the rest of the Blues cut loose with their Kalashnikovs through the blaster ports. The farmers threw the axes and died. The people with rifles cast them aside and pulled crossbows into action. Snarling in rage, Campbell flicked on the cannon, and the people disintegrated under the barrage of shells, their bodies blown to pieces. Kicking open the back doors, the Blues charged onto the street and started to chill every male they saw, young and old. Many tried to flee for the woods, but they never reached the trees alive. Firing his Kalashnikov at the scurrying figures, Campbell laughed in delight. His troops were tired from being bounced around in the APC for days and needed some exercise. This mud pit would do fine for some R&R until they left for Virginia to hunt for the next dish. Separating from the howling mob, a scraggly whitehair dashed into a rickety hut and came back with a huge hand cannon. She cocked the hammer and pulled the trigger, but the big bore blaster only made a soft bang and sprayed out some pretty sparks. A laughing blue shirt shot her in the hip and stomach. As the white hair fell, she fired again, the weapon booming in discharge. A round slammed into the turret just below Campbell, missing him by an inch. Snarling, the sergeant flicked the cannon into operation for a moment, the old woman and her hut vanishing in thunder and flame. The slaughter was over within minutes. The Blues herded the surviving women into the middle of the ville, making them stand in the muddy hole. Ruthlessly, they weeded out the ugly, the old, and the pregnant. The lifeless bodies splashing into the dirty water. The other blue shirts forced the remaining females into the ruin of the dish. Laughing and jeering, the men forced the women to strip each other naked and tie themselves to the tables and beds with their own clothing. Soon, only the sounds of muffled sobs and the slap of wet flesh could be heard in the isolated ville. Two hours later, the companions gathered in the control room of the redoubt, near the door to the Matran's chamber. Jack held out a fist.
Made straws for teams. Draw.
A collection of plastic broom bristles jutted from his pale hand. Scowling, Ryan shook his head.
Too risky. We go in balance teams. Two each, point at anchor. JB with me, Christy with Dean, Jack with Mildred.
Who goes first?
JB stopped polishing his glasses.
Ryan or me always take point. Same goes for here.
And what about me?
Christy brushed back her waving hair.
Jumps hit you too hard. We can't take the chance of you passing out for hours. The LD button only works for 30 minutes. We'd lose you forever.
Besides, one of us should be fully awake here just in case of trouble. I want that damn cannon of yours ready to cover my ass, in case we come back with a sectroid chasing us.
Doc said nothing for a few minutes, then relaxed his tense stance.
Then you may consider me Paris. None shall breach these gates of Troy.
Arming themselves from the meager supply of weapons, Ryan and JB each took a Kalashnikov, one extra clip, and two Grens. Except for their knives, the men left behind their other weapons. There was no sense carrying dead weight when they would need every ounce free to haul back supplies. Ryan slung the Russian rapid fire over his shoulder.
Christie, take the Colt. You and Doc stand guard here behind the comp console. Shoot anybody with us that's carrying a blaster. Jack, Dean, and Mildred, take Grens and stand guard in the hallway. Kill anything that gets past Christie and Doc.
May Gaia protect you.
Nodding his thanks, Ryan turned toward the chamber door. After he and JB stepped inside, the one-eyed man closed the door and waited. As always, the mechanism paused for a few moments, as if waiting for a destination code to kick in. Then the machine began to activate a random jump. Slowly, a swirling mist began to cloud the chamber, twinkling lights like tiny stars shooting through the metal discs of the floor. Then the thickening mists masked the men, and it seemed as if they dropped through the solid floor into infinity. Wild visions filled their minds, and Ryan grimly knew it was the start of a jumpmare. Sometimes the illusions were pleasant, fantasies of blue skies, green pastures, and sex. But more often, they were horrid visions of doom and pain. This time, it was an endless kaleidoscope of disjointed scenes. Ryan standing above the body of his brother Harvey, a black horse galloping into the horizon, silhouetted by a swollen red sun. Christie glancing over her shoulder and smiling just as a bullet plowed through her skull, removing most of her features. Ryan's hands were covered with blood, burning blood whose fumes rose to fill the skies as sirens howled and jet fighters soared away, launching salvo after salvo of missiles that streaked off into space, the contrails twisting and darkening into loaves of fresh bread. The smell filled his mind, his stomach lurched with pain, and then the merciful veil of unconsciousness claimed him. Gasping for breath, Ryan shook uncontrollably, bitter bile rising into his mouth. He forced it back down, only to have it rise once more in rebellion. Nearby, JB was sprawled on the cold plastic, twitching and shaking. Precious minutes ticked away before the men were able to force themselves erect and take stock of their surroundings. The walls of the chamber were solid yellow, almost a golden color, with tiny flakes of bluish material. JB wiped the sweat off his face.
New redoubt. Never been here before.
With fumbling fingers, Ryan hit his wrist cron, and the second hand began to sweep. Using the AK-47 as a crutch, he got to his feet.
Come on. Only got 20 minutes remaining.
Weakly, the men opened the door and stumbled into a control room that was a near duplicate of the one they had just departed. The control room was clean, the comps humming softly, the screens scrolling with coded commands. Outside the control room, the corridor was streaked with fire stains, doors buckled in, and the jams partially melted. JB checked the rad counter on his lapel.
Clean.
Shifting the grip on his long blaster, Ryan grunted, saving his breath. Advancing to the next level, the stairs began to get cleaner, and soon they smelled green growing plants.
Hydroponic garden?
JB's hands were easy on the Kalashnikov submachine gun. The weapon had an 8-pound trigger as a safety precaution against firing if dropped or jostled. The armorer had adjusted that, and now the blaster worked on a hair trigger. 2 pounds of pressure, and it would spit subsonic lead at 600 rounds per minute. Tense, Ryan tested the air again, but there was no trace of the hypnotic perfume of that deadly flower from Georgia. Lots of plants were mutated, some of them even better than in pre-dark days. But not that thing he and Christie had found inside that deadly sports arena. Bypassing all other levels, the men headed straight for the armory. Most of the redoubts were exactly the same, and the companions could find their way through the redoubts with their eyes closed, a feat that had saved their lives several times. Only a scant few were oddballs, with unique designs or layouts. Thankfully, this wasn't one of them. Passing a skeleton on the stairs, they entered the garage and stopped. There were no tools on the walls, no wags in the parking spaces, even the fuel drums were missing. Those were often empty, but almost always still in the redoubt. Worse, the entire roof